Going back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, just want to begin tonight by reading the first 8 verses. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 8. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, praise the Lord, a few weeks back, we left off on a study through the first 4 verses. And the Lord, through Brother Paul and that conviction upon his heart, gave us and gives us such warning. You talk about red flags, brothers and sisters, the warning of the end time falling away. And this is speaking of Christians. And I do emphasize our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I do emphasize, but for the grace of God, there go I. And but for the grace of God, there go you. I'm thankful for the grace of God, aren't you? I'm thankful again that we are His workmanship. I'm grateful to God that I know, and I pray that I will never cease in professing that He is faithful and true. And we've come to a time, and I believe we are seeing it increasing truly at an increasing rate, just like the glory in the ones that won it. You talk about fat sheep, my goodness, praise God, you can't get them out the door. They like to stay in here, praise the Lord. But what's increasing at an increasing rate as well too is ungodliness. And this love of many that will wax cold. And the love of many that waxes cold in the Christian community comes because they do not endure. They do not desire. Let's just call it what it is. They don't want it. Sound doctrine. You know God wants that for every life. We know that the Lord wants all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. So we know that if we turn from that, it wasn't God. It was our choice. It was something that we decided. It was something that, again, that this tells us very clearly in verse 4. It says that they, in verse 3, it says that they, through their own lusts, have heaped to themselves teachers. The lust of the flesh, brothers and sisters, will always get us in trouble. It'll always be a detriment to our lives if we go that way. And oftentimes, we think that we need to hear what we want to hear. We're going to tell God how it's going to be and where it's going to be. And we seek our own opinions. And I'll tell you what, without fail, when that starts to take over a life, it is a slippery slope of destruction that follows. The word of the Lord is true. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it does discern the intents of the heart. And we do need to pray one for another. And as Sunday night's message was, I pray by the grace of God we would never cast any out, that we would have a heart that would always pray fervently for that brother or sister in the Lord to be restored. We want that fellowship. We covet that. If the heart of Christ in that full overcomer heart, the very love of God is reigning in our life, we would want every single life that we would come in contact with to want to fellowship in the whole council in Paul's gospel. Amen? Amen. No matter what they've done to you or to me, by God's grace, I hope we can get over ourselves and really have the heart of God. Can you imagine what they were doing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon that cross? And all he could say was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So praise God for that love. And I know that that's the love that lives in us, because as a Christian, Christ in me is the hope of glory. Praise God. Now, these teachers, it says, they merely tickle ears. When you get tickled, the ear that this is speaking of here, I just want to remind you, it will literally lull you to sleep. If you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that's exactly what happens to the large part of the church, the body. It's sleeping, just like the story of Adam, when God was so faithful to bring forth him a wife, the body was asleep. And out from that body came that rib portion, praise be to God, that became his wife and was made his wife. But we see, brothers and sisters, that when we go after these things, there will be fables that will replace the truth in our lives. And I was thinking about all of the different fables. We understand the fables of the different doctrines that are out there that have nothing to do with the truth. But I'm talking about things that can entertain our lives, muse us, put us to sleep, put us almost in a hypnotic state, get us to be distracted with the things of Christ. And I'm talking about things that might be true to this earth, causes, politics, a lot of different things, but yet so untrue and false, and such distractions, brothers and sisters, that are devastating to the run in our lives into the midst of the throne. Do you know what I'm talking about? I pray we do. That's why we stand in defense of the gospel of Christ. That's why I am so thankful for the love of God and his grace that causes us to want and desire and to desire that our fellowship is in the gospel of Christ. We're not here to talk about current events. I'm not here to visit with you about the cause of the day. Those are distractions. We want, by God's grace, to be set upon the things above. Amen? Amen. And why? Because the Bible tells us so. Because the Bible encourages our hearts. It's because of the love of God. And we know that faith, praise the Lord, which worketh by love. It's that love of Jesus that we do want to please him. But I'm so thankful in this that Paul doesn't dwell on this very long. And I think this is another testimony to our lives. When we have different ones in our life that we love very much, but they're stuck and they don't want to go on. You love them, you pray for them. But I'm going to tell you something. Paul here, he doesn't dwell on this very long. It's, I'm sorry for you, my heart hurts for you, but the joy and unspeakable and full of glory life has got me on the move. So goodbye. And that's how it has to be. The Word of God tells us this time and time again. The ones that really are the examples of the ones that went on to the deepest things of God, whether it was in the Old Testament saints or in the New, they left the familiar. They left the family oftentimes. It's not an easy thing. It's not that you despising or hate them. Actually, your love is increased for them as you go with God. The capacity to love only grows the more. But it is a narrow way, brothers and sisters, and it is a way oftentimes that you'll find yourself just alone with Jesus, and what a precious time that is. But we get to verse 5 here, and you can hear Paul say, well, Brother Timothy, now that I've told you this, I've told you exactly how the innumerable multitude ones are going to behave at the coming of the Lord. He says, now you be watchful. You be watchful in all things. And if you think about what it says of those four living ones, those ones that we read about in Revelation chapter 4, that are the ones that are ruling and reigning in the midst of the throne with Jesus Christ, it says they have eyes within and they have eyes without. They're full of eyes. Praise be to God. See, they have a vision. And the Word of God tells us that without a vision, the people perish. And praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, that God has enlightened the eyes of our understanding with this truth. And I'm thankful to Jesus that we can have that eagle vision with the eyes of a dove and win him. And you have to remember, too, You think about the cherubim, as it says there, of those four living ones, the cherubim. Remember what they're staring at in the Old Testament? They have their eyes completely staring at the mercy seat, on the blood that was poured out. Always remembering the blood of the Lamb. See, it's the remission of sin, but in that blood, it's the complete package. It's everything. The power in the blood. The grace of God. How freely it was given. He gave his life. Praise the Lord. He became sin for us who knew no sin to bring many sons, praise his name, to glory. So here we are. Now, he goes on to tell him very quickly, not just endure, but endure afflictions. Brothers and sisters, in case you don't know by now, they're coming. They're here. They're all about us. And thank the Lord as he hung upon that cross. I am so grateful. His wounded side. Think about how some of the sweet sisters have so written and encouraged my heart with those things as Jesus upon the cross and that wounded side. That rib portion, hallelujah, which speaks of his very bride. The Lord, praise God, is encouraging us that just as Paul suffered, we will suffer for Christ's sake if we too are going to win him. See, God is proving in you his faithfulness. Do you know that? See, it's his faithfulness. It is his faithfulness. It's not your faithfulness. Thou hast a little faith, but it's his faith that he's given you. It's by the grace of God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I'm so grateful to God again that I can rely and be confident upon that life, that very life, the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that is the life that lives in me. And that life that lives in me lives by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So in that, I can rest. In that, I can have confidence that, Lord, praise God, you have given me your very life. You have given me the very power of your might. Praise God, that love can be shed abroad in my heart so much that, Lord, I will be quick to believe the word of God. And hallelujah, how that happens and the transformation that happens in the sons of God. And see, the Lord, through many afflictions, is how he likes to do it. Just like it says in David wrote, in his faithfulness he has afflicted me. See, God has to do that. It's a wounded walk. It's a weakening in the way. It's the glory that Brother Paul said, oh, I glory in my infirmities. Because it's then that the very power of Christ is resting upon me. Now, you think about how man is. Man's always looking for strength. We got the Olympics. We're looking for the biggest and the best and the fastest and the strongest and all of that. And God is looking for the weakest. God is looking for the lowly. God is looking for the despised. Do you see how God's ways are not man's ways? Do you see how his ways, praise the Lord, are beyond finding out? But yet by his Spirit, yea, the deep things of God for us at this time that we live. And see, he proves in us over and over through these afflictions that his love reigns in us. That there is a passion for the bridegroom. That we endure hardness as good soldiers. We love. Yes, we love. It's the love of God that keeps us going. It's the very grace and love of God that gives us the passion to truly overcome. There's many times, and I know we all can raise our hand, that we felt like quitting. We felt like giving up. But the love of God, isn't it wonderful? How he just holds you and praise God. How he breaks your heart and causes you to say, oh Lord, I want to go on. I need your help. I need that grace. Hallelujah. I know it's there. And Lord, I can only be confident in you. It's like the flame's about to go out. It only feels like a flicker. But praise be to God, that's when that mighty rushing wind comes in and just lifts us, gives us that second wind to run. But he says here, besides the enduring here, he says, do the work of an evangelist. You talk about being an epistle read of men. See, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. See, this is speaking of walking the walk. I'm hopeful that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I have given you that kind of the imagery of someone that's gone off to war or something of that nature, and they got their sweetheart in their pocket. If they really love that sweetheart, you know, they're usually out there showing her off. You know, here she is, here she is. And this is exactly what this is. Are we in love with the Lord? Is this the one that we want, by God's grace, people to know, this is my love? Have you ever had people come up to you and say, you know, there's something different about you? How are you like that? Are you quick to tell them it's because of Jesus? By the grace of God, are you quick to tell them? Let me tell you about the best friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Let me tell you about the one who loves me and in no wise will ever cast me out. Let me tell you about the one, even when I am not faithful, even when I am believe not, he abides faithful. That's the one I want to tell you about. That's what makes my life different. I'm so thankful that there is an abounding of hope in my life, and it's not predicated upon things. It's not predicated upon how I feel. Even though, sure, I would like to feel good. It would be nice to have a few things, but you know what? That's not what it's predicated. I met so many people that have so much. I met so many people that are so healthy, and they're some of the most miserable people I've ever met in my life. You better know it. And yet, I know some of the most sick people, and I know some of the most poor people, naturally speaking. And they're the most alive and the wealthiest folks for the eternities to come. How are you going to look at things? See, I don't want to look at this vapor life and get caught up into that. I sure would have hated to waste my time. We're talking about investing in forever. Forever is a long time. It really is. Noodle that one around. The exceeding riches of his grace in the ages to come and his kindness towards us. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Isn't that just awesome to think how much Jesus loves you? Talk about a rest. Yeah. We're running out of words. That's why I know that Jesus is coming. It is. You can't describe how good he is. You can't even begin to utter how awesome. But thanks be to God for the word. And thanks be to God for the foolishness of preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I love this last one that he says here in verse 5. As he says to endure, as he says to do the work of an evangelist, he also says to make full proof of the ministry. And what that actually means is to cause a thing to be shown to its fullest. Did you hear that? To cause something to be shown to its most full. That's making full proof of the ministry. And by the grace of God, I pray that we would not, in the ministry that the Lord has given us, not withhold a thing. Just like Paul said, I preached you the whole counsel of God. There's nothing on me. I've given it all out by the grace of God. I have not withheld it. I have given you the whole counsel. I have given you that whole counsel of God. And praise be to God, I'm hoping that not only do we know the whole counsel of God, this is full proof of the ministry. This is cause it to be shown to its fullest. That's not just in speech, brothers and sisters. It's that our conversation, our manner of life would be in truth and love. Amen? That's what it is, that the Lord works effectually. I know people, and you do too, that know the truth, but don't live the love of God. And it's a shame, because it is a life that is of the fullness of God, in all of its fullness, is a life, brothers and sisters, that lives truth in love. That's why it says that the true worshiper worships him in spirit and in truth. See, that love, if it's lacking, if that love is missing, oh my, you've missed it. You've missed the joy unspeakable and full of glory that is there for the ones that truly want to take this mantle. Because it really is a mantle that Paul is passing on to Timothy. And it's a mantle, brothers and sisters, that causes us to run. And I'm hopeful that would inspire others to be in that singleness of purpose as well. Now we come to verses 7 and 8, and I have to tell you, I don't know if there's two more thrilling verses in the whole Word of God than 7 and 8. I love to think about them. I thank God how He has me delight in them throughout the day. But this is truly Paul's announcement of his finishing and our equal invitation into that exalted rank of righteousness. That is exactly what that crown of righteousness means. It means an exalted rank of righteousness. Praise God. Yes, there are ranks in the resurrection. Yes, there will be stars that differeth one from another in glory. Yes, praise be to God, there will be every man in his own order. And yes, praise be to God, there will be a glory like unto a moon. Wondrous glory. Wondrous reflected light. But then it also says that there will be ones that will have the glory of the sun. Ones illuminated. Ones coming down from heaven having the glory of God and her light. Praise the Lord. How wonderful that we know these things. But Lord, encourage that in my heart, that this is my love letter to me, that this transformation, Christ in me, the hope of glory, would come forth. Let's read 7 and 8 again. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, especially these last few weeks, traveling and thinking about where the Lord would have us if he tarried coming back here, the order that he brings those two verses, the order of events, I just loved it. And it really sprung out to my heart. It's as if he saved the first things until last. And by the grace of God, that's kind of where he's had me to begin on this. And I have to tell you, again, what a little sweet double portion. I hadn't read, and I usually never read ahead of any of the booklets on the books of the Bible, whether it was Brother Copley or Sister Bodie or things of that nature, until after the Lord has had me study through and really given me thoughts for the manna for the day. You know what I'm saying? See, the Lord will bring out things, and I want to trust him that he's going to bring out for us exactly what he wants for the moment that we have in this assembly, in a Bible study, in a sermon, that it is absolutely all the perfect and complete will of God. But I am so grateful to God as well, too, that we have faithful ministers, we have faithful teachers that the Lord had anointed to follow Paul as he followed Christ. And I thank God that it's a precious privilege. And that's where I say, brothers and sisters, we're without excuse. These booklets, they're right on the website. We can get you a booklet if you would like one as well, too. I'm so thankful that all of these different books of the Bible. You can go on that website. You can go by subject. You can search sermons and Bible studies. Again, by books. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. But we got Bible college going on. We really do. But I like to call it growing up in Christ in all things. Amen? And it is. It's right there. But how sweet to be able to be encouraged in the Word of God and in ones that have rightfully divided the truth. And in that, going back and reading after I had got back, it was sweet to read that Brother Copley said the same thing. And not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves, that wasn't it. It's about the Spirit and what he saith. And it was the same exact thing, how it was like he was bringing out the last things first and the first things last. So as we get into this, I'd like us to begin thinking about all them also that love his appearing. Am I speaking to all them also? You've heard me say that before. By God's grace, brothers and sisters, all them also. I pray that's who we are. I pray by the grace of God. I know we have not attained to that, but that we're reaching and, praise be to God, pressing for that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But all them also that love his appearing, those are the ones that will finish with a full joy. Those are the ones that live in such comfort and rest and in the victory that has been won that receive the exalted rank, this exalted crown of righteousness. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am thankful to God to be able to say with no doubt that these are the first rank. These are the full overcomers in Christ. These are the ones that will be spared from the tribulation in its entirety. They will be raptured at the moment of the first trump and will be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the ones we're talking about. We're talking about whether it be the sun glory ones. I mentioned those a moment ago in 1 Corinthians 15. How about the ones it says that are alive and remain in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Or again, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus ones in Philippians 3. These are the four living ones that are seen, brothers and sisters, in the midst of the throne in Revelation 4 at the sound of the first trump. And they are the only company that is mentioned rejoicing and ruling and reigning in the midst of the throne with Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Matter of fact, I'm very thankful for it. Matter of fact, I'm so grateful to God that He's growing it up in me. It's nothing about pride. It's all about Him. I'm proud of Jesus Christ. I'm proud of that gospel. I'm so thankful that Christ does live in me. And I'm thankful again that He's growing me up, that it works effectually in our lives, brothers and sisters, because we don't just read these words. We don't just skim over them. But it works effectually because we believe the Word of God. Amen. Oftentimes we're raised in tradition. Oftentimes people have been raised, well, this is all that it says. Brother Paul so commended and was thankful for the Berean saints because they searched the scriptures. Everything that he said, everything that he preached to them, they searched the scriptures to make sure that these things were so. How many people do you talk about that the Lord will bring you into different paramount truths of the Word of God? Whether it's salvation, there's no salvation without the remission of sin. Says it very clearly in a manifold many different ways. But it's got to be by the blood. But yet they're going to argue, they're going to talk about this, but they're not going to receive the scripture. Or the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in tongues. Trying to pick this out here and this out there. And if you rightfully divide the word of truth, that again, by His Spirit, you can take them right to those places that they're trying to contradict. And you say, no, here's what this says. And you can go right through the word and say, you can see this, and you can see this, and you can see this. And there come a time where they'll just shut it off. And I'm not there to argue. If you really want to get into the Word of God and what it says. And then how about the Bride of Christ? That type and that shadow that Jesus Christ is going to have a wife. It's everywhere in this Word. It's all over the place. And I haven't even seen it all. And I've seen a lot. Just looking upon it. Used to say scratching the surface. Just looking upon it. But yet, they have eyes and they see not, and they have ears and they hear not. Because, well, I wasn't taught that way. Or my religion or organization doesn't believe that. Brothers and sisters, we got to get away from that. What does the Word of God say? Listen to it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. That's what this is about. That's what especially a Bible study is about. This isn't my opinion. God forbid I would ever bring an opinion up here. I don't want to bring that. I just want to bring the whole counsel of God and trusting by His great grace that the Spirit will rightfully divide this in our hearts because it's the very purpose of God that it would happen. Amen. So, in that, brothers and sisters, we know that again, all of these things about These ones that are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord. These ones that are seeking the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. These are the ones that will jointly rule and reign with Jesus Christ. These are the ones that love His appearing. These are the ones that will receive that crown of righteousness, that exalted rank of righteousness. In Revelation 5, it talks about those four living ones being that king company. They're reigning. You'll find out, too, that there of the seven churches, there are only two churches that it speaks of wearing a crown. And that's the church of Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia. And the church of Smyrna, if you study the word of God out in that, those are the ones, again, that are the full overcomers in Christ that have died, in a sense, and have not lived to the coming of the Lord. The Apostle Paul. You'd have different ones that I trust the Lord in this meeting that have gone on to be with Jesus. That's the Smyrna saints. And then the ones that live to the coming of the Lord, to that first trump rapture. And I always think about how Brother Hill, every bit, not of his fiber, I just say, and it'll be Sunday, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. In me was looking for that coming of the Lord. As I've said time and time again, as he was so sick, just a couple weeks before the Lord took him home, and as he was sitting in that hallway, and I was just so just sad and heartbroken to see how weak he was, that he fell in the hall and he couldn't get up as I went to see him, thinking about how long he might have been sitting there, I don't know. And all he could do is he looked up. Son, do you think he could come today? Man, I want that. That's what I want. That's what I need. And praise be to God, by his grace he delivers. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord has brought out time and time again, and especially as of late, that this loving his appearing isn't just for some future day. It's not when he gets here or when we meet him in the air. That's not when loving his appearing needs to happen. Loving his appearing is happening right now in those that really love his appearing. And we thank the Lord how manifold that meaning is. We understand that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. To see Jesus and to be face to face with him is everything. Yes, I do love that appearing. Love that appearing so incredibly, I can't even imagine. And that has to be a time when everything shuts off and it's just Holy Ghost language time when we visit about me seeing his face. Praise God. The things that I can't utter, but by his Spirit, he sure gets it done. So we understand that meaning of it. But then, praise God, how about the evidence that the Lord has really had us to be rejoicing in of the ones that truly love his appearing? Where is he appearing right now to us? Is in the saints. Do we love one another? That's what Philadelphia means. It's brotherly love. Do we really love one another? Do we love all of God's precious people? Or are we still loving with hypocrisy? Hypocritical love is not going to get it. Us four and no more does not get it done. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, a lot of times we might not feel like coming to church, but by the grace of God, I pray we hit our knees. Lord, man, do I love the appearing in the saints. There's a fervency to get around people that love God. Most of my life is around people that don't. You go out in the workplace and all of that, there's no thought of God out there. We know those things. How refreshing it is to go to our little bastion. our precious little place that he gives us, the sanctuary. The people of God. And it's not any exclusive club, and don't go there with it. But I am talking about brothers and sisters of like precious faith. I'm talking about ones that are just a little bit kooky. They've been touched to run and to run with absolute purpose. Praise the Lord. Kind of makes the hair stand up on your arms. I hope it does. Should. But I'll leave that to the Lord. He'll get it done. But I'm talking about craving fellowship. I'm talking about thinking about church even as a reunion time. Man, it was something to come in here on Sunday. I was grateful to God. I almost could not preach a sermon because of the overwhelming love of God. But it constrained me. And thank the Lord for it. But you think about what God gives us. Two times on a Sunday, once on a Wednesday, once on a Friday. People look at us, what kind of nut are you? What? How many bad things did you do during the week that you got to go to church that many times? No, we want to know Jesus more, don't we? Amen. And the Word of God, it's not because we're doing it because God said it, so I have to do it. It's not that at all. It's working effectually because you believe. You want to come because Christ in you, He loves. And Christ in you loves the saints and loves the love of the saints. Not just one way. This is Galilee time. And we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's the much, the more, as we see that day approaching. Praise be to God. And I'm thankful for the comfort He brings through that. But there's even another meaning in loving His appearing. And that also means in every aspect of our life, loving His appearing. Now that's something that really has to grow up in you. Now Lord, I just don't want you a part of this the next hour. Every bit of our life. The conviction, praise God, the chastening. Just that love that sticketh closer than a brother. Honey, we're not going to do that now. Oh, okay. I feel like I should be so mad at that person. But yet the love of God, I can't help but love them. Isn't that fun? You talk about the out-of-body experience. I know I'm not just preaching to myself. Praise God, this is the Lord preaching hallelujah to His glorious choir. We know these things. But see, these are the ones that the Lord is growing up in fully right now. It's the thing, praise God, that in our lives, that appearing in every bit of our life, it's not just that we love it the most, it's that His appearing is the first love in our lives. And then that brings us right back to these three things that He first talked about in verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This is what comes from love. This is what comes from love. This is what comes from the truth. This is what gets us ready for the crowning, brothers and sisters. And loving His appearing now and in everything is the result of a life that keeps the faith. By God's grace that keeps the faith. I'm thankful to the Lord that we receive the grace to live a quickened life to believe the Lord. It is just the grace of God. It's the grace of God that's with us. It's the grace of God, hallelujah, that gives us the love that produces the faith in our life. It's the grace of God that allows us to live a life that pleases God. A life that embraces the whole counsel of God. A life that treasures the Word of God, that feeds on the Word of God, that grows up into Him in all things. A life whose this Word is all their rejoicing. See, it's just as those in the Old Testament. I'm talking about the ones there in Hebrews as it mentions the Faith Hall of Fame. How did they get there? By faith. They believed. God said it, and it's so. Praise the Lord. But you'll never believe the Lord until you receive His love. Until you receive that how much He unconditionally, always, how immensely He loves you. You begin to grow up in that, don't you? As a little child understands the love of mom and dad. That's like us with Jesus. You get born again and you really understand as you start growing in that. You know, Jesus loves me. And He loves me not because of what I do. He loves me not because of how I act. He loves me because I'm a son of God. I'm His child. He cannot help but love me. He cannot deny Himself. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. All right. Now, I've got a foundation. I've got a foundation. I'm standing on that love. I'm standing on that confidence that God loves me. He appreciates me. He's thankful for me. I'm favored. Now, we're getting somewhere. All right? And I'm just going to stand right there and I'm not going to be moved. Now he starts feeding me. Like a little bird opening his mouth. Lord opens my heart. He says, honey, I want you to take more in. Matter of fact, I've given you a comfort. I want you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to take all that word in. Oh my, now he enlarged my steps. How I'm standing on that foundation and still I'm not moved. But I'm growing up and I'm growing up and I'm growing up. And that's what this word does. That's what this confidence in our Lord and Savior does. That's why these ones in the Old Testament, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, that's why they were able to do such exceeding abundantly above all they could ask or think, because they believed God. They were all a bunch of flops. Let's just say it how it was. Failures. The less of the least. Am I preaching to him tonight? And yet to us a better thing is offered. Think of this. Yes, I do love to rejoice in the provision and the plan. And then now, the Lord's growing me up. I'm rejoicing in the power. That undying passion power for me to have it. That's my confidence, is the love of God. It's going to perform the good work which he's begun. Didn't just throw this seed out. It's planted. It's specific. It's watered. It's nurtured. It's grown. Praise be to God, that lily doesn't toil. It just grows and it's beautiful. Isn't it awesome? That's how much he loves us. Love it. Love it. Praise you, Jesus. So, what does quickened faith do? And I'm talking about faith and love. It completes the word of God in us. That's what it does. It causes us to live a life filled with all the fullness of God, readied, just as Jesus Christ himself readied for that moment to be offered. See, that's what Paul's going through. And think about what it talks about. That the end of that run, how it's finished. It's finished with what? A full joy, a joy. How did Christ approach the cross? How did he endure? Because of the joy that was set before him. That's the finishing. It's the joy. It's the love. That's why Brother Paul finally, if by any means, I don't care. You rip my arms, my legs, you can do anything you want to me. That don't matter. I'm out of here in just a moment. And if by any means I might attain to that resurrection, that out resurrection. Again, looking for that meeting in the air. It don't matter because of the joy that's set before me. This is the lover's time. This is sitting down and listening to him love on you. And as you receive it, let me tell you something. You're loving back on him in a big way. Oh, Lord, I see that joy that's set before me too. That wounded side thing means something to me now. The rib, it's been pierced. All because of you. This crazy, defiant, ignorant, rebellious punk. And I've been called a punk. Somehow, some way, the grace of God touched me that I want to win Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. So, that faith, that most holy faith, causes us to be ready to depart. Remember our pastor talking about the wings fluttering on his back, feeling the wings? That's the readiness. Readied. Not looking to myself at all. Don't, if you're looking to yourself, you're saying because I passed this course or I know that or I grew up here and that, you're not ready. I'll guarantee you, you're not ready. Matter of fact, you're so not ready. Because as Paul said, not being found in my dirty self-righteousness, but be found in Him. In Him. Yep. So then faith causes me to fight the good fight. See, I'm not beating the air. I'm running with purpose. I'm not fighting down here for an earthly cause. Come on now. I'm not down here for a good or an acceptable will. We are talking about the good fight, the most profitable of fights for the perfect will of God in us. As it said in 2 Timothy 3:17, to be complete, to be thoroughly furnished, made into that perfect man, that vessel, praise God, that is set aside solely for the Master's use. And we're just going to close real quick with the finished course. Because I'm telling you, by the grace of God, we haven't even touched the crowning yet. So I don't even know how many weeks we'll be on that. But I'm going to trust God that maybe tonight, by His grace, we might receive the crowning. What do you think? Praise the Lord. But finished my course. Now, brothers and sisters, we know that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. But the question is how much faith will we meet Him with? How much? How much will we choose to believe? And by grace, may it be the most holy faith. I'm talking about all faith. We know that 1 Timothy 2:4 tells us that He would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. See, God is so precise and exact in what He wants for us that we cannot deny. But the question is, will we yield to this calling? Will we allow the full maturity of Christ in us to lay hold of His promise, His plan, His provision, His power of what God has given to us in Christ? I don't want to come up short. One who loved me so, I want to please Him. This is what this is about. It's because He loves me so, I want to please Him. There are disappointments, there are pains, there are lots of things in this life. But I know truly, by God's grace, He has divinely ordered every one. He's working, perfecting. And praise be to God for that course. Because in that course, brothers and sisters, it is the course of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That course that He has laid out for you is the course of a joy that will finish with the fullest of joy. That course that He has given us is the same finish that He cried out when He said, "Tielio, it is finished, completed in me to rule and to reign jointly with Jesus Christ." I know this. Again, because the Bible tells us so. And as we go tonight, I want you to think about this course. I want you to think about this path. We know it's called the race course. I pray you know it's called the grace course. It's the grace course. The only way you'll run, the only way you'll grow. The only way, by God's grace, that we will ever rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ is all by the grace of God that is with me. Hallelujah. Let's stand.